Happy Birthday, Mr. President is a production of Big Four Enterprises, copyright 2020. I'm your host, Jeff Myers.
And I'm your co-host, Carissa Slate.
Our creative director is Shelby Myers, and our senior writer is Evan Myers. This is Happy Birthday, Mr. President. Here we are for another exciting episode of Happy Birthday, Mr. President. Don't mess up the recording. Yeah, don't mess up the recording. Carissa, how are you doing?
I'm great.
You're looking great.
Thank you.
You're looking great.
Thank you.
And for our listeners that may not know, you're going to be a mother soon.
In about 8 days.
8 days.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. And, you know, maybe when the baby's born, we'll be celebrating the birthday of another president of the United States.
Oh, maybe.
Yes. Today, though, we are celebrating the 191st birthday of Chester A. Arthur.
Yes.
He was the 21st president of the United States, born October 5th, 1829 in Fairfield, Vermont.
Good old Chester.
Yes. And really interesting fellow. As you, he was one of our accidental presidents.
Yes, I did.
Does this
know
feel
that.
Like deja vu?
It does.
He was an accidental president. We'll get into that in a little later. Chester's parents were William and Malvina Arthur. They were Irish immigrants.
One of them was.
Just one?
Just one, his dad.
Yeah, I think his
mom was from Canada.
But his dad was an immigrant.
Yes.
His dad was also a Baptist preacher.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Well, fun fact about old Chester Arthur, Barack Obama was not the first president to be scrutinized for his citizenship.
Wait.
Yes. Yes. So, Chester Arthur, the people dug deep into it, and it was really questioned whether or not he was born in America.
They thought he was born in Canada.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, they sure did.
Yes. Well, thanks
was
for...
Was he? Yeah, well, sorry, did actually, I ruin actually, a true or false question?
No, you did not.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe, but we'll make it up. That's my inner monologue laugh.
Yeah.
Chester, when he was young, he went to prep school, and then he entered Union College in New York as a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
And he graduated in 1848 when he was 18 years old.
Young guy.
He was
a
very, very young college grad.
Yeah.
In fact, while he was in school to help pay for school, he taught. And then after he graduated college, he actually worked as a school principal.
So he taught while he was in school?
Yes, he taught.
That's interesting.
Yes. And he was a principal at some small towns in New York and Vermont from around where he was. And I'll give you one guess what he did after that.
He became a lawyer.
Yes, he did. Yes. He became a lawyer. Now, there was a really interesting case that he worked on. Lizzie Jennings. He represented Lizzie. And Lizzie was a black school teacher who had been physically ejected from what they call a whites-only streetcar.
Yeah. That's
horrible.
Awful.
Yeah. He represented her, and he argued the case before the jury, and he won.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the first civil rights cases.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it was Chester Arthur.
Did that change the law about black people riding in streetcars?
I believe it did have a pretty strong effect, impact on you know, basically how you treated people.
Yeah. What is a streetcar? Is it like a bus?
It's like a train that runs down the middle of the street. Some old cities you might see train tracks.
Yeah.
They're still on the streets. Well, those are the old streetcars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when he was young, he was hearing about some happenings going on in the Wild West. So.
Yes.
That sounds like some Wild West music there, doesn't it?
It does.
And
it
he went out to Kansas, and he... was when he went out to Kansas, he started dabbling in land speculation.
Land speculation?
Yes. So he would invest in land and then hold on to it and then sell it for a profit.
Oh, okay.
But things out in Kansas were pretty crazy for him. And he decided to return to New York, and he had been corresponding with this young lady named Ellen Lewis Herndon. He called her Nell.
Nell.
And he decided that I'm going to go back to New York, and I'm going to court her.
Okay.
Yes. And did you know that Nell wanted to be a professional singer?
Really?
Yes, she wanted to be a professional singer.
What style of music?
Do you think maybe she wanted to do a little bit of hip hop?
I don't know.
My name is Nell, and I like to sing.
I really doubt it was that style.
Yeah, maybe. She's probably a country singer.
No, she was in New York. She would have gone to Kansas if she wanted to be a country singer, probably.
Oh, so that was probably, maybe she a rock and roll singer?
Oh, probably.
In New York City.
New York City, I'm going to go with funk.
Funk.
Yeah. That would be my guess.
Nell Arthur.
Nell. I wonder if singer. He called her Nell because it's Ellen backwards.
That's a really interesting question. I bet that's exactly what that is. I think you're exactly right.
I think so.
Well, he did marry Nell.
Yes.
They got married on October 25th, 1859 in New York City when he was 30 years old. And they had three children. Their youngest, William, he died when he was 2.5 mm-hmm. years old. And they had another son, Chester Jr., and a little girl that they named Ellen and called her
and
Nell.
And called her Nell. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I think that was really common. Yeah. You know, a lot of times you hear about,
juniors,
you know, you name a boy and he's junior, but a girl is typically, I don't know, maybe it was more common back mm-hmm. then. Well, he was obviously alive and during the Civil War.
Yeah.
And he enlisted in the New York State Militia during the Civil War. And his job was outfitting and supplying soldiers in New York City.
Okay.
And it was a pretty tough job.
Yeah.
You know, and but here's something really interesting is that Nell was a rebel at heart.
Oh, was she?
Yes. And she actually had relatives that were fighting for the Confederacy.
Yeah.
And it caused some real family strife.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. As you could say, they had some drama.
Mm-hmm.
Family drama.
Family drama, yeah, during the war.
During the Civil War. Mm-hmm. So he kind of steered clear of that.
Yeah.
I think Nell's parents actually lived in Virginia, mm-hmm. which, you know, were in the South. So, you know, I'm sure that made for interesting Thanksgiving discussions.
I bet it did.
You know. Well, he got a job as the collector of the Port of New York.
Okay.
And he served from 1871 to 1878. Now, this job paid $50,000 a year. Now, think about this. You're making $50,000 a year in 1871. You are making bank.
Yes. That's impressive.
That is a definite cha-ching. Have we got a cha-ching?
I don't know.
I think we do.
I bet there is somewhere.
Hold on.
But that.
Well, there. There we go.
That is impressive.
When you're the collector of the Port of New York, I mean, it is.
Yeah. Especially, I wonder what the cost of living was back then.
Probably not like it is now. And he collected fees from any shipper that was not paying the proper tariff, and then he was able to keep a percentage of the fees.
Oh, wow.
And you had to remember, too, that in New York, 3/4 of all the total tariffs collected in the United States went through New York.
Oh, wow. So... Yes.
Chet Arthur.
Okay.
Macon Bank. And that was what was known back then as the spoils system. And so people would get in political office and they'd give their friends and their cronies good jobs.
Yeah.
And, well, Chet Arthur, cha-ching. He made a lot of money is what I'm trying to say. He got elected. So that was his first political job. And he was well within the political... machinery at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a vice presidential candidate under James A. Garfield, election of 1880.
Mm-hmm.
And, you already mentioned that there was a rumor that he might have been from Canada.
Yes. Scandalous.
But he wasn't. But that's a good thing. And
Did he show his birth certificate, though? Do we know for a fact? Were there witnesses?
I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough.
All right.
His wife, Nell, died in early 1880 to pneumonia.
Oh.
And Chester Jr. was 15 years old and Nell was 8 years old.
Oh, that's horrible.
When their mom died. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he was elected to the vice presidency under James A. Garfield.
And Nell had already died.
And Nell died, because the election of 1880 was in November, and she had died earlier in the year.
Okay.
So it was a pretty sad time. So he didn't have a wife. One thing about Chester Arthur is that he really prided himself in his appearance.
Ooh, did he?
In fact, he had the aura of a dandy.
Did he? Yes. Is he a dapper fellow?
A dapper, yes. He always wore the latest fashion.
Okay.
And then with a cigar.
Oh, so, okay.
You know, he was like, he was the man.
Yeah.
He was Mr. GQ.
Did he have a handlebar mustache?
He had one, yeah, he had one of those like mutton chops things. I can see that. He had it going on.
I can see that.
He had it going on. Well, he served one term from September 19th, 1881 to March 4th, 1885.
Mm-hmm.
But, as we know, he was not elected president.
Yes.
He assumed the presidency upon the death of James A. Garfield.
Yes.
And there were rumors that he was actually involved in President Garfield's assassination.
Oh, yes. Really? Because he wanted to be the president?
Well, the guy that shot Garfield wanted Arthur to be president. And in fact, he wrote him a note that said, I shot President Garfield so you could... elevate to the presidency.
Oh my gosh.
And he even told him, here's who you should have on your cabinet. So that guy was crazy.
I wonder, you know, did any of those people that he mentioned in his note end up on the cabinet?
That's a good question. They probably,
that would be scandalous.
Now that, you know, talk about drama.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And Chester, he received numerous death threats.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in fact, now remember when Garfield was shot, he didn't die immediately. In fact, he lived for several months.
Yeah.
So Chester Arthur stayed primarily in New York City,
yes.
Stayed away from things. And then he came to Washington, D.C. No, I take that back. He went to the Jersey Shore because that's where Garfield had gone and wanted to go see the president.
Yes.
But Lucretia, who was James Garfield's wife, really didn't like Chester.
Really? You know?
And so, well, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was, I'm sure it was pretty tense times and everything. And when he heard the word that the president had been shot, Chester Arthur said, God knows, I do not want the place I was never elected to.
Yeah.
Saying, I don't want to be president.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that would be tough.
So the word of President Garfield's death had reached Arthur on 11:30 p.m. on September 19th. And the butler told reporters, he said, he's sitting alone in his room, sobbing like a child. I dare not disturb him.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It really wrecked Chester Arthur that the president had died.
Well, and he was probably terrified. Just,
yeah,
that's a lot to process. Yeah.
Oh, it was. And so at 2:15 a.m. on September 19th of 1881, he was sworn in as the 21st president of the United States at age 51.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So talk about a late night.
Yeah.
But he didn't move into the White House for 4 months out of respect for Mrs. Garfield.
For Garfield's wife.
And he was very sympathetic to her. And in fact, I said she didn't like him, but he was so gentlemanly and so genuinely sympathetic to her that she actually came to a liking to him. I wouldn't say that they were, you know, great buddies or everything, but it was.
Yeah.
He
like
was
a
that
mutual respect.
Yeah. And it really changed Chester Arthur as a person. So,
mm-hmm.
especially politically, because he was so much into the spoils systems, and then he became, and Garfield was kind of like the exact opposite.
Yeah.
And he went on to basically push forward with Garfield's agenda.
Yeah.
Now, another reason, though, that he didn't move into the White House was he was disgusted with the shabby appearance of the White House.
No!
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, he was a dapper man.
He was very dapper.
Yeah, picky.
The White House had antiquated plumbing that needed replaced. He hired a guy named Louis Tiffany to redecorate.
No.
Tiffany.
Stop. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
So he was a dandy.
Yeah, clearly.
He held elegant dinner parties, had an extensive wardrobe.
Mm.
His sister actually served as the official hostess because his wife, of course, had died. And his work day, he worked from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon.
Okay.
He was a rather lazy.
That.
He was a rather lazy president.
He had a good work-life balance.
Yeah, yes. And he left office because he didn't get his party's nomination. And I don't even think he wanted to run for president. So, all right.
I'm ready.
You're ready?
I'm ready. I saw your finger hovering over that button.
This is one of our favorite parts of the show. Isn't it?
It is, just so it can be stuck in my head.
The rest of the day. All right, we've got some true or false questions. I really have only got 4 true or false questions. We're going to let the song run in because it has an ending. All right, we're ready for a little bit of true or false. And of course, if you get the question correct, You'll hear that sound, and if you get it wrong, you'll hear that sound.
Yes.
And the points don't count, so. All right. Chester Arthur, true or false? Chester Arthur would try on 20 pairs of pants before selecting one to wear.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that? In fact, he had over 80 pairs of pants when he was president.
High maintenance.
And he would change clothes several times a day.
Well, if you have 80 pairs of pants, then you can do that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so that was true. Very good. All right, here's our second true or false question. Chester Arthur was the first president of the United States to take the oath of office at a Starbucks.
False.
Yeah, that's false. But he was the first president to take the oath of office in his home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Was he the first accidental president?
Let's see. No. He would have been the second. Yeah, the second accidental president. Okay. Because Lincoln was the first. Yes. All right. Speaking of Lincoln, question number three. Arthur's Secretary of War, Robert Lincoln, refused to be in the company of the president.
I bet that's true.
You know, it's probably true.
Probably. Definitely, maybe.
because Lincoln was actually in Garfield's cabinet, and he was in the crowd at President Garfield's assassination, and he was also present at President William McKinley's assassination. Yes. So he said, "I'm just bad luck." Mm-hmm. Well, of course, his dad was.
Yeah.
Robert Lincoln had been invited to Ford's Theater the night of the play, but he didn't go.
Oh my gosh!
So, crazy stuff. All right, here's our last true or false question. Chester Arthur was on the TV show American Pickers.
False.
Yeah, you're right. But when they were redecorating the White House, there were 24 wagons hauled away this old furniture from the White House and sold it at auction.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
What'd they do with the money? Put it in the new decorations?
Probably.
Or new pants?
Pants and decorations. Yeah.
Yeah, probably the pants.
I think he probably got some more pants. And let's laugh about that. That's funny. Chester Arthur in his pants.
Chet.
Chet in the magic pants.
It could be a movie.
Well, after he left the White House, he was... doctors had diagnosed him as suffering from Bright's disease.
Bright's disease?
Now, you're a doctor, right?
I am, and I may have known that you were going to ask me what Bright's disease was. Commonly known today as acute nephritis.
Acute nephritis?
Type of kidney disease.
It's a kidney ailment, mm-hmm. It's fatal.
Yeah, yeah.
So during his final months, aside from suffering from this horrible disease, I'm sure it was very painful and mm-hmm. uncomfortable, but he directed the burning of many of his public and private papers.
Oh, so really?
I'm wondering what were in those papers.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like he knew he was going to die, so he was like, burn it all.
Well, apparently
that's
so.
That's crazy.
Crazy stuff. He suffered a major stroke and he died at 5 a.m. on November 18th, 1886 in New York City. He was 56 years old.
Oh gosh, he was young.
He was a very young president. In fact, mm-hmm. at the time, he was the basically the youngest former president to pass away. Now, of course, it was Kennedy that when he was shot was younger. But yeah, Chester Arthur was a very young man. And he was buried next to his wife, Nell, in Albany, New York. And I thought it was interesting that at the time of his death, his son Chester was 22 and his daughter Nell was only 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I don't know whatever.
She was an orphan.
Yeah. I don't know whatever happened, mm-hmm. Became of young Nell Arthur.
Yeah.
But her dad died at a very young age. So this is the 191st birthday of Chester A. Arthur.
Happy birthday, Mr. President. Thank you all so much for listening, and we hope you will join us for our next episode as we celebrate another birthday of another President of the United States.